You're listening to episode 3 of the Serenity Gaming Podcast. On this week's episode, we dive into the Triangle Strategy demo, and nobody expects the Spanish Pokeyzition. Good day, everybody, and welcome back to the Serenity Gaming Podcast. This is episode number 3. And I am one of your hosts. My name is Andrew, and thank you for joining us once again. Sorry about last week that we missed a show. I was just getting ready to pack up and finish up my vacation in Florida, so kind of ran out of time to record and edit one. But we are back this week, and I am not by myself, but I once again have my co-host, Mr. Justin, with me. Justin, how are you doing today?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent. How was your last week or two? We haven't got to talk much lately.
Mm-hmm. You were off in Florida enjoying warm weather and getting all tan and stuff.
That's true.
Past couple weeks have been good.
Well, excited to be back. Yeah, we had a great time down south. Nice, lots of nice warm weather. Spent lots of time on the beach, playing in the ocean, swimming with lots of fishes, but it was good.
Very nice.
Yeah, after vacation, it's always nice to get back home again as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, so since we got 2 weeks of news to kind of catch up on, we got a bunch of stuff that has kind of come up over the last couple of weeks that we'll touch on. And then we will jump into our main topic of the week, which is going to be kind of covering our thoughts and experiences with the Triangle Strategy demo. So when we were talking about doing that this episode, I didn't realize that Triangle Strategy comes out on Friday already. So basically the same day this episode will come out.
Yeah.
I thought that was, for whatever reason, I thought it was coming out later this year, like in a month or two, but it's already coming out this Friday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, March is a crazy month for the Switch because we got, Triangle Strategy on the 4th, and then it's the Chocobo GP on the 10th. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, the DLC on the 18th, and the following week is the new Kirby game. So
lots of racing games.
Yeah. Yep.
But lots going on for the Switch this month.
Yeah, something coming out every week pretty much, or something pretty big coming out every week, which is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So let's go jump into some of the news. Got a couple little things. Some of the amiibo have been pushed back that were supposed to come out this spring. Not ones that I'm particularly interested in picking up right away, but the Min amiibo was confirmed for April 29th, but Steve and Alex have been pushed back. Those ones might be kind of cool.
Now, which ones are the Steve and Alex ones?
The ones from Minecraft. So okay. Minecraft Steve, and then Alex is the female Steve, basically, the female character. Okay,
all right. I knew about Minecraft Steve. I kind of thought that's what it was, but I didn't know who Alex was.
Yeah, so they've been pushed back to... I didn't write down. I think it's later this year, maybe the fall or something. But the only thing that kind of concerns me there is that just means some of the other ones that I really want, like Sephiroth and Sora, are going to be even further back now. So
yeah, back of the line.
So we'll wait a little bit longer for those ones, but that's okay. Did you see that Street Fighter VI was announced?
Yes, I did. I watched I think it was. The only little trailer came out. It was like less than a minute.
Yeah, just that teaser.
Yeah, just sort of showed off. Just the new look of Ryu and the other guy who I didn't recognize.
No, but I didn't know.
I think he's been in the Street Fighter games before.
Yeah, it could very well could be. Other than like 2 and 4, I haven't played too many. Spent much time in Street Fighter. I didn't touch 5 at all, so.
Yeah, I didn't play 5 either. I played quite a bit of 2, mostly back in the day. And I did have 4 on my 3DS, so I played a bit of that. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. And, so the biggest outrage for this reveal was the logo. Did you see the logo? You would have caught the logo.
Yeah.
It's no longer all fancy and big Street Fighter fonts. It's all modern and cool and sportsy.
Yeah, the older, classic Street Fighter logo has kind of looked like, had the the fiery red and orange colors and kind of looked like graffiti on a wall or something, right?
Yeah, it was always very, very cool, but now it's just like an S and F and a little six in the corner. So
this looks like a graphics card logo or something.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's very just, yeah, very official. I wonder if it's not going to get replaced. Like maybe it's a bit of a placeholder for a logo. Because yeah, it's definitely underwhelming and not really jiving with the usual Street Fighter theme.
Yeah. So yeah, along those lines, maybe just kind of for like icons and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then have a full logo when the game comes out as well. But yeah, I guess the big story here though is Ryu's got a beard.
Yeah.
What do you think of his beard?
I think he pulls off the beard nicely. I thought it was kind of funny. Like it seems like every once in a while it's like, okay, we're bringing back the same character. Let's give him a beard.
Like they did it with God of War too. Yeah.
And I also got like some Captain America vibes.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
big news when I think we saw the trailer. I think it was Age of Ultron. It's like, oh, Captain America has a beard.
Yeah. But, anyway, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a cool little trailer. Obviously not exactly what gameplay is going to look like, but
for sure.
Pretty neat. And I guess another kind of crowd reaction to Ryu was he's got sandals on because he's usually barefoot.
Yeah, just barefoot. Okay, I didn't catch that. Nice.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
Yeah, cool. It's fun. I love little teasers and stuff leading up to new games. I mean, Street Fighter's not my favorite series by any stretch of the imagination, but it is fun to get in there once in a while. And
yeah, again, like I enjoy Street Fighter. It's definitely not a game that I sink a lot of time into, but fun just to play casually a little bit.
Oh, for sure. All right, moving along, there was a Final Fantasy 14 live letter when I was gone. It was mostly an update of kind of what the future plans are for content rollouts in the game. Not a lot of stuff I want to touch on, but mostly that the free trial is back again, and they're doing a bunch of updates to the game to kind of make it even more beginner friendly or user friendly, just trying to make it more like a single player Final Fantasy game. Like you can play through the whole thing now kind of as a solo player, and you don't really have to worry about going into any group content too much. There's going to be a little bit of it still in the game, but that's kind of one of their priorities with kind of refreshing the older stuff in the game, is to make it more single player friendly.
Okay. So you the original game had different sections of the story where you would have to group up for a dungeon or to fight a boss.
Right.
One of the big bosses. Is that still the case or?
Yeah. So their plan is to basically make it so that you can do all of the dungeons with NPC characters. Okay. So since Shadowbringers, Shadowbringers was the first expansion that did this, where you could kind of recruit some of the NPCs that are kind of along with you in the story, and you can take them into the dungeons so you don't have to group up with other players.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of working that system further back into the game. So they're going to be starting at like the 2.0 dungeons and stuff and working from there. Just basically just to streamline that Final Fantasy feeling to go in and play a single player Final Fantasy game. I think
that's smart, because especially while they're trying to offer the free trial and recruit new players, it's intimidating, right? Because figure that, you know, you're new to the game and you're worried that you're going to get grouped up with a bunch of other people that are very experienced and might just want to breeze through everything. And because, I remember getting to, those quests where you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then you realize that you need to group up with a party and it's in a dungeon. And it's like, okay, well, maybe I'll just skip that. So
that's great. Yeah, that should be good. Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of the bosses. They're saying a lot of like the 8-player bosses are going to be very difficult to try to convert. So that might take a while or might not ever make it into the game. So, but they're definitely trying to make that experience easier for newer players, which I think it's a good thing for sure.
Okay.
And they also talked about they're going to be starting to upgrade the graphics and stuff finally now over the into the next expansion, because we've kind of been using like more or less the same character models and stuff since the reboot of the game. They're slowly starting to update that. There's a bunch of images out on just better looking character models and that sort of thing, prettying the game up a little bit.
So yeah, for sure. Nice. Redoing the characters. I remember when that happened in World of Warcraft, and it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Excited about that. But the biggest thing is that free trial registrations are now once again open. So if you wanted to try out the game, you can once again play the critically acclaimed MMORPG Final Fantasy XIV, which includes a free trial that includes the entirety of A Realm Reborn and the award-winning Heavensward expansion up to level 60 with no restrictions on playtime.
Nice.
And that's the first official commercial. So there you go, everybody. Okay, so on Sunday morning, we also had a Pokemon Presents presentation come out. It was like a 14-minute video that the Pokemon Company released in celebration of Pokemon Day, which is the anniversary of when the first Pokemon games came out in Japan. So this is the 26th anniversary of Pokemon.
Wow.
Yeah, so
Pokemon's getting up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. The presentation started with just a bunch of updates to a bunch of the smaller games, like a bunch of the mobile games, Pokemon Go and a couple other ones. Okay. Cafe Mix. And I forget what the MOBA one's called now. Anyway, that one's been pretty popular over the next year, but I haven't dove into that. But some smaller updates for the mobile games, a couple little updates for Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl and Legends Arceus. But the biggest announcement, of course, was they announced Generation 9 already. So Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet. And the big thing is they're coming out this year already. So these guys have been pumping out games like crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
They've been coming out. I was definitely not expecting Gen 9 already. I would have liked to see them maybe take another year to really polish it up and give us a little bit of a break between Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, and now Arceus came out in January, and now we got these games in probably November. So it's a lot of Pokemon.
Arceus is still a new game, so
yeah, for
crazy
sure.
To have news on that already.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was not expecting them to announce that already, but from what I've seen, it looks good. I mean, of course, I'm going to play it when it comes out, but it looks like they are making this one mostly open world again, so taking a lot of the stuff from Arceus and bringing it into the mainline games, which is very exciting. I like the look of the open world and having all the Pokemon kind of roaming around in the wild instead of having random encounters and that sort of thing, so that looks good. Yeah, so it's seems to be set in Spain. So the last bunch of, or actually I think kind of throughout the whole series, they've kind of picked a region of the world to model the Pokemon game after. So like the last one we just played was in Britain, and then Sun and Moon was like Hawaii and that kind of thing. And so this one's going to be set in Spain. So that's kind of relevant for trying to pronounce the names of these starter Pokemon. So I don't know if you saw the names of these guys, but my first go at them, I had no idea.
Okay,
but it was cool. I found I found a tweet by, or I was linked to tweet by a guy named Antonio D'Amico, who is a Spanish guy, and he had a really nice breakdown on Twitter of all the Spanish related things that he saw in the trailer and how it relates to Spain and that sort of thing. So he kind of explained the names a little bit. So the fire crocodile guy is Fue Coco.
Yeah, Fue.
Which is like Fue, which I did not get at first because it's Fuego is fire in Spanish, I guess. And Cocodrilo is crocodile, I guess. So kind of just puts those together and there we go. And Gatito is a kitten. So Sprigatito is a grass kitten or a leaf kitten, a sprig kitten.
Oh, okay.
So that's where those names came from. So yeah, when they popped up, I had no idea how to say them other than Quaxly, of course. His tweet was funny. He said, the duck is Donald Duck, a Spanish mythological beast.
So, oh, nice. Yeah, Quaxly, definitely my favorite so far.
Yeah, that one's your pick. I'm leaning Quaxley as well, but Fuey Coco is also pretty cool looking. I like him as well.
They are cool. I like the names. I like them all, but Quaxley with his very serious looking demeanor.
Yes. So yeah, which way do you think they're going with him? Do you think he's going pirate, like pirate duck, or do you get like more of an artist kind of vibe? Because that's kind of the two I was thinking.
It's hard to tell. You like from the picture that I have, the top of his hat or hair, is cut off. You think it might be a pirate hat?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. It definitely has like a frillier kind of hair swoosh thingy going on.
Yeah.
When I first looked at him, I kind of got pirate vibes, but it might be more artisty vibes.
Yeah, he's got the fabulous blue hair, I guess.
Yes. Yeah.
As all Spanish mythological ducks do.
Right. I just posted another picture in the show notes that has the full.
There you go. Okay.
Picture. Oh, so he's got his fancy hair there. So.
Yeah, he is my favorite.
Yeah, he's definitely pretty cool. All right. So, the last news thing just came out. I think it was yesterday, maybe even the day before already now, but they have added missions and rewards to the Nintendo Switch Online. Have you checked this out at all?
No, I have not.
So this is cool. So if you, next time you're on your Switch, open up the red Nintendo Switch Online button, and there's a new tab on the left that says missions and rewards. And this month is themed around Mario Odyssey and Animal Crossing. And you can buy a bunch of pieces to your icon, like the one that your Nintendo Switch Online icon or whatever. So right now I have my standard Mario and Yoshi. But this one lets you buy a whole bunch of different characters from Mario Odyssey. So you can get like the Mario frog. So he's the frog with the mustache and the hat.
Oh, nice.
A bunch of characters from that. And you can get, different pieces. So you can get like the character, and then there's a background and like a frame. So you can collect three different pieces and create your own icons from right now. It's Animal Crossing and Mario Odyssey stuff.
Okay.
So to get each one of those pieces takes just a bunch of platinum coins. They're like 10 platinum coins each. So that's not too bad to come across, but to gain those platinum coins, historically it's been a lot of the mobile stuff where you could get a lot of platinum coins from.
Yep.
And but now they're actually adding missions in game. So, and I'm not sure if it updates every week or not. Yeah, it looks like every week. But this week I got four missions sent to me from Nintendo. One of them is to just like save or back up my save data. The other one is to use Nintendo Switch Online, the application, and one is to play a software that supports an online play. So presumably that was when I played Mario Maker earlier this week. And then finally, my last mission is to play some Super Mario Bros. On the Nintendo Switch Online. So,
oh, okay. You get
bunch of coins for that. So that's going to be cool if you get a bunch of different, they tell you to play a bunch of different games or whatever to get a bunch of free points.
Okay. So the when you said it was Mario Odyssey and Animal Crossing, those are, that's the rewards part, but rewards, the missions are probably usually going to be something that you, assuming you have online, games in the NES Online and the Super Nintendo Online, and
right, that's what I'm thinking for sure. Because this is in the Nintendo Switch Online tab, I don't even know if this is available if you don't have it. I'm not sure.
Probably not. That makes sense for them to make missions that are achievable.
So that it looks like each one of those missions is 50 coins. I can't see how many coins the ones I already completed are worth, but the one I haven't completed yet is worth 50 coins. So if they're all worth 50 coins, you get 200 a week, which is pretty cool because a lot of the physical rewards that are on the My Nintendo website, they cost about 1,000. So you can save up for about 5 weeks and get something from the physical rewards of My Nintendo.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So Yeah, because there's a bunch of like prints and stuff. I got like that little Skyward Sword HD plaque for like 1,000 coins once, and then there's a bunch of prints when Metroid Dread came out. So if they keep putting out a bunch of physical rewards, that's going to be really sweet for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really cool. So also, I saw that there are rumors of something. Apparently, NVIDIA, the makers of the GPU inside the Switch, they were hacked, and there seems to be evidence of a new GPU that suggests that it might be for an upcoming
more Switch Pro rumors. Yeah, Switch 2 maybe.
People love their Pro Switch, or the Switch Pro rumors.
Yeah, I feel like every 6 months we have a new rumor for an updated Switch. I mean, it's going to happen eventually, right? So eventually one day people are going to be right.
I mean, there's a couple things kind of leaning in the direction that support this, I guess. Nintendo has suggested that that the Switch isn't going anywhere, that it's sort of in, you know, even at like 5 years old now, that it's roughly in the middle of its lifespan, which is
crazy
because I can't imagine it being for another 10 years. But I mean, that would support, you know, kind of coming out with a new, slightly beefier hardware Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of exciting to think about. But yeah, I mean, there's been rumors of the Switch Pro for years. So
oh yeah, for sure. I don't know. I personally don't think we're gonna get one quite yet.
Because the OLED Switch did come out pretty recently.
Yeah, maybe that's just why I don't want a new one, because I just got this one.
You just bought another one.
Yeah. So. I'm hoping to get a couple years out of this one before we have to buy another one.
But
I don't know, because we got all the Mario Kart DLC and stuff goes till the end of 2023. So I mean, it's very possible. I mean, I'm sure they're working on the next Switch already, so it's very possible that Nintendo's in talks with Nvidia for the next one, but that doesn't have to necessarily mean it's coming next year, or it's not coming necessarily in the next 6 months. But
Did any
of the leaks say kind of time frame, or they're just saying they're working on one? I don't
think there was anything time frame. I think it was just evidence of a GPU that kind of unlikely to be for anything else.
Right.
I mean, I don't, again, I agree with you. I don't expect anything to be coming out super soon, but I mean, who knows? I kind of like the idea of...
I'm not upset about it either, really.
I mean, everybody likes the idea. That's why it keeps, you know, being a rumor. Yeah. But I like the idea of a Switch with better hardware. I don't want a new system with new games and whatever. I like the idea of just kind of the upgraded Switch coming and... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
To see what that looks like, but...
Yeah, no, that's interesting though, because you'd rather be able to continue to play new games on your current hardware. That's basically what it comes down to, right? Because if you come out with a new Switch, it's easy enough for them to make it backwards compatible so that you can keep playing your current Switch games. But then you're always limited by that 2017 hardware.
Yeah, so that's kind of it's kind of similar to what happened with the 3DS, right? They came out with the new 3DS, which made a lot of games, like, and all the existing games, maybe a little nicer to play. You know, mostly for loading times and whatever. But then, there were a few games, not a ton, but there were some games that came out that were now exclusive only to that system, right? Only playable on the new 3DS. I know Xenoblade Chronicles was one of them. Was Majora's Mask?
No, I don't think
sure.
So.
No. I know Majora's Mask took advantage of that little C-stick nub that came on the new 3DS. But there were only a few, and maybe Monster Hunter. Yeah. Monster Hunter was only on the new 3DS.
Okay. Yeah, the one of the Warriors games too, I think, maybe.
Oh, okay.
The Hyrule Warriors, maybe.
But yeah, I would, I mean, I would kind of prefer something like that where, you know, a little bit better Switch, you know, the existing games, maybe will run a little bit better. And if there's a few games that, come out that are exclusive to that system, then I think that's still better than just coming out with a totally new Switch with you know, with new games.
Yeah, I think I'm more in the camp of I'm kind of ready for new hardware within the next couple of years. Give me the Switch 2.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. I don't want it this year. Maybe next year then I'll be ready. But
do I dare ask what do you want to see from a Switch 2?
I think I want it to be mostly the same, just a little bit more powerful, to be honest.
Yeah, I
love the Switch. I want better Joy-Cons.
Yes, absolutely. That's my biggest gripe. If that's the only thing they upgrade, I'll buy it.
Yeah. I can't believe we never got a revision on the Joy-Con.
Yeah, a little disappointing. When you can go back and play your NES and your Super Nintendo, and you know they're still chugging along, but like I own three pairs of Joy-Cons that are all malfunctioning, which is sad. I love you, Nintendo, but sometimes you're infuriating.
Yeah, that's that's too bad. But cool. All right, so that's just about it for news this week, I think. What I did realize we neglected to do is we didn't talk about any games that we played this week. Did you play anything? Yeah, I was just so excited to jump right into it.
There was so much news, you just skipped right over.
Yeah, I even had the note on the top, update games in progress, but skipped over it. So yeah, have you been playing anything new this week? What you been up to?
Well, this week, you know what? I don't think I've made any progress this week on A Link Between Worlds. I have yet to do that. I was just playing Triangle Strategy, actually. Which we'll talk about in a bit. But that has been lots of fun. And still playing Seven Days to Die on PC.
Yep. Cool.
Not video games, but been playing a fair bit of chess games as well.
Nice. Cool.
Through different mediums, mostly apps, playing against some buddies and stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I've been playing a lot of games this week. I kind of had to make up for my vacation because I did not play a lot when I was down there at all. A little bit of Triangle Strategy, but that's it. But started up Pikmin 3 yesterday on my stream, and that's been pretty fun. So I played a couple of hours of that yesterday, and the game is really sweet, and I'm going to plan on playing that entire game on stream. I don't think it's too long, so that'll be a fun one to just play through on stream. But I'm playing it on the Wii U, so they rebooted it on the Switch not too long ago. But yeah, I had the original version already and just never got to it, so I'm excited to get to it now. It seems really good so far, very similar to the first two games thus far, but we'll see how it changes.
Yeah, the little bit of your stream that I caught on my lunch break yesterday, it looked very similar to other Pikmin games that I've seen. So
yeah, for sure.
But I guess they've been popular, so why mess with the formula?
Yeah, I mean, semi-popular, but we're still waiting for Pikmin 4. It's been a long time since Pikmin 3, and we thought Pikmin 4 was coming a while ago. There was an update from Miyamoto a long time ago that the next Pikmin game was almost ready, but we haven't seen anything about Pikmin 4. So maybe one day. That'd be cool. Other than that, I also picked up Skyward Sword HD and Mario 3D World this week for the Switch.
Okay.
There was a sale at Shoppers Drug Mart on Skyward Sword, and I had a bunch of points, and they had a bonus redemption event for points. So I bought both of those games and spent about $20 to get both of them. So,
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Optimum points are amazing here in Canada if you can save them up and spend them on video games. So
I might have to look into that. Those are both games that are on my radar to replay Skyward Sword because I did play it on the Wii back when. But I have not played Mario 3D World yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's a really fun one. Especially, yeah, the Switch version is really, really good too, because I rented that one from the library, I think, when it came shortly after it came out, because I wanted to play Bowser's Fury. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, really great addition to the 3D World. Just a separate little adventure, but it was really fun. So do you
have Bowser's Fury as well then?
Yes, it's the Switch version is 3D World and Bowser's Fury. Yeah, okay, it comes on the same cartridge. So that's really sweet. I'm excited to jump into those sometime in the nearish future.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You've got lots on your plate.
It's not good. It's not good.
No, it is. It is good.
It's really good. But I don't know when I'm going to get to all of them, but we'll see what happens. I mean,
just need to cut out some unimportant things in your life, like sleep.
Right. Like sleep. That's true.
Yeah.
I could probably cut out a little bit of sleep. All right. Let's jump into our main topic for the week, which is our impressions of the Triangle Strategy demo.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three words I meant to say in that order. We got it.
You got it. Nailed it.
First try. All right, so the Triangle Strategy demo, as far as demos go, this is probably the best kind of demo. I really like it when they put out kind of just the first chunk of the game, and absolutely, then you can keep your save and then just keep going into the game if you choose to pick it up. That's the case in this game. It's the first three chapters of the game, so you get to play through them. You can keep your save, and then when the game comes out, you can just continue from where you were. So. Mm-hmm. That's pretty great. Did you play it on normal mode? Do you remember when you
a little while ago that I started my file? What were the options? Was it normal?
Easy, normal. Yeah, easy, normal, and hard. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, then definitely on normal.
Okay. Cool.
I think it's a fair difficulty on normal. I definitely did find it a little bit challenging. I don't know if we want to get right into it.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I didn't know what it was going to be like. I mean, it's very I guess I got some definitely some strong Fire Emblem vibes from the game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I did not know for sure if permadeath was going to be a thing. So
it
seems that it's not.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe on the hard mode, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know, because I finished, apparently there's three battles in the demo. I don't know how far if you got that far.
Yeah, I did finish the demo.
Okay. So. I finished two battles, and I definitely lost some characters in the second battle.
Oh, yeah.
Including, yeah, I did too,
the
main character. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, he died for me too, like the second turn or first turn or something. And
yeah.
I sent him in, and then he just got smoked.
Yeah, yeah. The the heavy hitter on the other side, I can't remember the name, but he hit him pretty hard. First one of them put him to sleep, and then he was useless for most of the fight until he just got killed. Yeah. So, he gives a little, little speech and then disappears.
Right.
I like the difficulty setting of this. There will be some more difficult fights as the game progresses as well, but
I'm sure
it seems good.
Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, this is one of Square's 2D HD games. So what do you think of this art style or these graphics? Is this something that appeals to you?
I do like it. I like the backgrounds more now. This obviously, if you've seen Octopath Traveler, if you've played that at all, this is identical to that,
right?
But it's very nice. It's easy to look at. I like the characters. I like the kind of art style in the characters. I do find that they're almost a little bit like they're pixelated, which I get is part of the art style, but they're a little bit blurry.
I have that note too. Yeah, I have that note down as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have like maybe part of that is muddy, because the surrounding, you know, environment is very kind of sharp and crisp. They're pixelated, but it is also just, it's a little bit muddled and blurry.
Which
I don't love, but other than that, that's definitely not a deal breaker.
For sure.
I definitely like the way this game looks.
Yeah. Yeah. All the character art and everything is super great too. I like all the full art portraits and stuff when you go into the menus. They're all nicely hand drawn and
They
look really sweet.
Absolutely. Mm. Definitely actually reminds me a little bit of playing Final Fantasy VI and seeing the portraits in that game.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, let's maybe touch on the story a little bit. Really, it's hard to talk too much about the story from what we've played so far. It's really just kind of laying the groundwork for the game. Mm-hmm. And I mean, really nothing super groundbreaking, I don't think. Like, it's three nations. They fought for a very long time, and now they're in some sort of unstable truce.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been about 30 years or so they've been living in peace. And now two of the nations, the Aelfrost and Glenbrook, are trying to strengthen their bonds by having a couple important figures get married and just kind of strengthen the ties between the two nations. And it's kind of where we start in the game.
Yeah. The story, I like it so far. I agree. It's definitely laying the foundation for what I'm sure is going to explode into the rest of the game.
Right.
I like the characters. There's lots of different interesting personalities in the game. The demo, and I'm assuming the rest of the game, it's a lot of cutscene. Like, it's a lot of story.
Yeah, we were gonna definitely gonna hit on that. There is a lot of just exposition being thrown at you and just talking.
Yeah,
but
I did find that when it came to do the little exploration phase, I was ready to move on from that pretty quick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I really like the exploration phase.
Okay.
Going around and just, I felt like that really added to the world and just getting to see what the characters were doing. Like, you met up with your future bride's cousin. He's just kind of wandering around the town exploring it, and you get to kind of know him before you actually meet in an official capacity. So it's cool to bump into some of those characters and get some of their kind of behind the scenes thoughts. And the exploration really comes in later. So I think you said you did up to the end of the second battle.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna spoil a bit of the third chapter for you.
Oh, go ahead.
So at the start of the third chapter, you have a story branch, and you're picking whether you want to go to one city or another city. And you don't actually get to pick, but your party of characters will all vote kind of on which way they want to go, one way or the other.
Okay.
Which is neat. And but if you wanted to go to the one city instead of the other city, you could try to persuade each one of your party members to go the way you want to go.
Okay.
So in order to persuade them, you'll have one of your dialogue choices where it'll bring up the three different choices, and you could kind of pick the best one that'll suit that character that you think will convert or to convince that character to pick the option you want to pick.
Okay.
And the more exploration you do and the more chatting you do to all the NPCs and stuff and getting to know more about the world, the more options you'll have. Like, you'll unlock additional options that you wouldn't have had if you didn't talk to the NPCs and didn't learn about the world.
Okay.
So yeah, I thought that was super interesting, and I don't think I've seen that done in another game before. So
yeah,
that was fun.
What I'm recalling from the exploration phase was, I mean, the more recent one that I know, there's been a couple that I did, but the more recent one was, they're at the feast, everybody's at the feast, and the king is going on. And then basically invites everybody to drink wine and mingle before the tournament. Right. And I know I went up to one person that had an exclamation mark above their head. They had something kind of important to say, and then I didn't see any more. And I was just like, okay, well, let's just get to the tournament. It's been a long time since I've had a battle in this game. I feel like there is... I heard that some people said that the whole demo took them like 2 to 3 hours, but I have like at least 3 hours into it as far as I am.
I think
I spent an hour between battles one and two.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You know, I enjoyed, all the story scenes, the voice acting, like fully voiced conversations during that is awesome. Really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I didn't want to skip over any of that.
No. You played English voices, I'm guessing?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, I played with all the Japanese ones, but I enjoyed that as well.
Okay.
I just checked my time and I was over. I had 5 hours or more into the demo after playing all three chapters. So.
Okay, yeah.
Pretty nice lengthy demo to try out the game anyway. But it's a lot of story, and then you get to do your battle, and then you go back into a whole lot more story.
Mm-hmm.
So did you find that you could go, or did you find like the encampment thing before the battle, so you could go and do all the practice fights?
I didn't do any of that. I know that it had mentioned it, but I didn't, if it was available, I didn't try any of that. I think I went right into the battle.
Yeah. Yeah, so you do it's called a mental battle or something, and you just go with all your units, but you can still get XP and that sort of thing. But yeah, thinking back to like a Fire Emblem game or something, that's basically how it worked there too, right? Like you do one major battle per chapter.
Yep.
And then you'd get a bunch of cutscenes and stuff. But yeah, I do feel like this one had a whole lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot more.
The ratio of at least in some of the more classic Fire Emblem games, you know, you might have 5, at most 10 minutes of like cutscene story stuff in between. And then the battles would take you close to an hour.
Right.
This is almost the other way around.
It's the other way around. Yeah. Cause the battles we had too weren't super long.
Cause I think that second battle that I did was maybe 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, the third one you get to, at least the side I did, you get to, it's a bigger map for sure. There's quite a few more enemy units. So that one took me a little bit longer.
Okay.
But, I mean, still sort of the same kind of ratio there.
Where
lots more story to the gameplay for sure.
Yeah, well, I don't mind. Okay. It is, I'm really intrigued. I'm pulled in by the story. I'm definitely enjoying it.
Yeah, so basically the branches you're choosing to go to the hometown of Frederica, or you're going to the home country of Frederica, or you're trying to go to the other country, which is the I have all these names written down there. I do not have them.
Hyzant.
Yeah, there you go. Hyzante.
Hyzante. I did kind of feel like. When during the conversation options, I didn't feel like there was a huge impact at the time. Like I sort of just picked the one that I liked. At that point, I couldn't remember anymore. I know originally it said, you can lean more towards this trait, utility or whatever the other two were. And when it came to a conversation option, I would pick one and then... it would say, something about your convictions or whatever. The little measuring scale
convictions
comes up.
have been strengthened.
Strengthened. I didn't feel like the choices were super impactful, and I didn't know, like it keeps saying that Serenoa's convictions have been strengthened. What that means, I don't know.
Yes. So yeah, you're right. They said that you'd kind of have the three different. Yeah, traits or whatever they're going to be balancing in them. But I didn't see where that comes into effect yet. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe there was somewhere in the menu I didn't find that told you what was happening there.
Yeah, and it would almost be kind of nice if you knew which conversation option was leaning towards which trait, if you were reminded,
at the very least, I would have, right. At the very least, I would like to have known what it was after I chose it.
Yeah.
But it seemed like the symbol was the same regardless of which one you chose. At least I always got the same symbol.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe talk about the actual combat a little bit more.
Yeah,
it's not exactly like Fire Emblem. I was reminded more of Final Fantasy Tactics as opposed to Fire Emblem, which kind of makes sense. Just because Tactics always stays on the overworld like this game does. Like, you don't go into the separate combat, like cutscene or whatever when you do a battle or do an action or whatever. And then it also the direction of your characters and stuff matters in this game, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, that was definitely a thing in Final Fantasy Tactics as well, where if you attack somebody from behind or from the side, you have a better chance of actually hitting them.
So yeah, positioning is definitely a major factor in these battles. I got some like major D&D vibes from this.
Oh, sure.
Because like flanking, basically. I don't remember what it's called in triangle strategy, but if you manage to get if you are attacking an enemy and you have an ally on the opposite side, they get a free attack as well, which is huge.
Mm-hmm. So they had that in Fire Emblem Awakening too, right? Where you had your support attacks. If you were with your support buddy, then you could get extra attacks that way too. But yeah, that's definitely cool. It adds that extra little bit of importance to like the placement of your units and whatnot. So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Like it makes getting, you know, you don't want to just leave one of your fighters just out hanging there because they can get surrounded and that's going to go badly.
Yeah, very poorly. Yeah, for sure.
Quickly. I found, actually found it worked very well to, because these, battle maps, at least, you know, the second fight was a fairly small arena. I found it worked pretty well to try to get my units fighting on the edge. So that the edge of the map was between, or that they were between the enemy and the edge of the map so that they couldn't get flanked.
yeah, for sure. No, that's sweet.
That worked pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it didn't happen too much in the first two battles, a little bit in the first one, but the elevation matters too for presumably for like your archers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, for they mentioned when they introduced some of the characters during some of the cutscenes, when they join your group, they kind of go over some of their abilities. And I know that what's her name? The archer on the back of the
Huet.
Hawk.
Huet.
Yeah. Some great names in this game.
Yeah.
But it was mentioned that if she attacks from the high ground, then she gets bonus. Did melee attacks get that as well?
I'm not sure. Honestly, I don't remember. That kind of, I want to say yes. Maybe you get that at least, maybe a little bit extra towards your hit percentage or something. But I'm not entirely
sure. In the first fight,
there
were some stairs kind of where the enemy came from. And if you managed to attack from like above on the stairs, it was very much reminded of Obi-Wan claiming that he had the high ground. So
the high ground. Yeah.
I really like how, you know, you've got characters that are clearly filling different roles. You know, the main character, Serenoa, kind of seems to be, you know, a little
standard
bit, yeah, kind
hero
of
hero with a sword kind
regular,
of regular.
Yep. But you've got characters that are filling a more tanky role. They can sort of one had almost like a taunt ability to focus enemies on him.
He just goes into battle with just a shield and just
have a weapon. His attack is with his kite shield.
Yeah.
So you've got your tanks, you've got your, you know, your standard melee damage dealers. You've got your rogue in there who is, you know, able to move around and attack multiple times. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I really liked her, Anna. Yeah, she was sweet having that extra attack because you could buff her up with what's his name? Benedict? Yeah, Benedict was like that, the... Yeah. Yeah, he was the... he would just... You can buff your character, so you could buff her up, and then she could attack twice, which damage. Is really sweet.
Yeah, I definitely use that. So yeah, he's filling more of like a support role, right? Giving out lots of buffs. Like he had an attack as well, but I found that his buffs... I buffed Sarah Noah, who, you know, promptly fell asleep after. But I also buffed the Anna, and that was great. And yeah, you've got your healer and Frederica, another great name. She's awesome.
Yeah, was your fire mage. I was really happy that she was an offensive caster and not a healer.
Yeah.
When I first saw her coming in, I pegged her as probably being the healer of the group. So I was happy to see her being the pyromancer.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. I always like myself some fire mages. So that was sweet.
But yeah, nice balance of different fighters. So I liked it a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Trying to think of it. Oh yeah, then we had the cavalry guy to the one on the horse with the lance.
Yeah, he died almost instantly because because I ran him right in.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got the extra reach and he's got mobility. So yeah, very cool.
Yep. And the spell points and stuff is kind of cool. The technique points, you just generate a point every turn and then certain moves across two or just one, but you're always regenerating a little bit every turn.
Yeah, those little yellow diamonds.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, so you couldn't always use Frederica's fire spells, like, because they would cost two and you'd only regenerate the one.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to plan when the best time is to use your spells and that kind of thing. So I thought that was very cool too. Oh yeah, one thing I wanted to mention with the different dialogue choices, I found where I had it written down utility, morality, and liberty were the three different branches. Okay. And then depending on the strength or the way you're leaning on those branches, it's also going to affect what companions you can get later in the game, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that definitely makes you want to know what you're choosing more.
Yeah.
Especially if you like after you play through the game once and you're trying to figure out how to get certain characters or something. And, it's got to be in the game somewhere. Maybe it shows up later, or maybe it is somewhere in the menus that I missed while playing it. But
it is a nice addition to sort of so that your conversations have some impact on the gameplay as well, right? And you can see like the consequences
of your choices
you make as the protagonist. So,
All right. So I think that's pretty much everything I had notes on. Anything else come into mind?
The music is also. Mention that already? Yeah.
No, we didn't talk about music yet.
Yeah, we talked about we briefly touched on the voice acting, but the music is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Super good. Reminded me a lot of Bravely Default, but
that's a Square game as well.
Yeah, it's another Square game. Okay. Yeah, I was gonna look up the composers and I forgot to do that, but maybe I'll do that next week.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the music. Just different. It really sets the scene, and the battle music. I found it had a nice level of intensity to it.
Yeah, for sure.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and even just going through the conversations and stuff, at one point the conversations get pretty tense and then the music will shift to some like deeper strings and stuff to kind of to fit the mood of what's happening in the conversation. So that was really cool too. Very much enjoyed this demo overall. It comes out this Friday. Do you think you're picking it up or not yet? Or
I'm leaning that way for sure. I'm going to finish the demo. And make a decision after that. But I really like what I've seen so far. The demo itself is a lot of fun. Not too often you get like 4 or 5 hours of content from a free demo.
It's really sweet. Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this game. I think I will probably be picking it up.
Oh, cool. I really want to play it. But yeah, just with everything else that's out right now, I can't pick it up right now. And I do imagine this one will go on sale eventually. It's not a first party Nintendo game, so that means we might actually get a chance of it going on sale some point.
That's true.
But then, yeah, there'll always be something else coming out in the future too. So, all right, well, this is our longest episode yet, so I think we should wrap it up there. If you're good.
Yeah, I'm great.
All right, sounds good. So, yeah, I think that will call it a night. So, thank you everyone for listening once again. Justin, you had a great stream last night. Do you want to go ahead and tell people about that?
Oh, lots of fun listening to you. Thank you very much. Yeah, had a great stream last night. So I play, play some music on Twitch, and I mostly just do some cover songs, and so I'll play guitar and sing a bit. And you can come and hang out, and if you like. And even if you want to request a song, I'd love to see you there. You can find me at twitch.tv/bigjustin12. And I play most Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Cool. Yeah, I like popping in, and I really like your song list bot. It's fun to flip through there and get songs for you to play.
Yeah, so super fun. Enjoy that.
Yeah, so I've been getting back into doing a little bit of streaming too. Started with some Pikmin 3 yesterday, and I'll probably play a bit more of that tomorrow. I usually stream noon at noon Eastern time. Thursdays is my main day, sometimes on Tuesdays. But this week I'll also be streaming on Friday. I'm going to be taking part in a charity stream. The stream's called Gaming for Guru, and we are raising money for the Autism Society of America.
Oh.
I'm going to be streaming for 6 hours on Friday by the sounds of it. That's not entirely finalized yet, but I think that's the plan. And yeah, we're raising money for the Autism Society of America, and it's in memory of Bobby Pauls, who passed away last year, and it was a big Nintendo content creator and very influential in the independent podcast scene. And yeah, it's kind of a in memory of him, and we're just raising money for another good cause. So excited to be part of that on Friday.
Okay.
And if you come and tune in and donate to the stream, every $10 will buy you a raffle ticket, and there's a whole bunch of cool prizes, including a Nintendo Switch that somebody's going to win. So
very nice.
But that's going to be super fun. So you can find my stream at twitch.tv/eldord14, and you can chat with me on Twitter at the same handle. And if you would like to talk to Justin and I about the show, you can email us at serenitygamingpodcast@gmail.com. I think last week I said the Serenity. It's not. It's just Serenity Gaming Podcast. Mm. Or you could jump into our Discord, and I made a tab in there. So I figured that's kind of easier for people to just pop in and make a comment or leave us a question.
Awesome.
All right. That's going to do it for this week. Thank you so much for listening, and have yourselves a wonderful day.
Bye, guys. We'll be right back.